Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Musty World Office Podcast, in the office edition, with the E in addition, the man himself. You always look different. I think we figured it out, though. It's your, bring that closer to you.
Oh, I always get this, yeah. I always get this messed
just,
up.
Just, like, this part right here, just stretch it out.
Yeah.
There you go. I'm talking, like, this close. Yes.
That close. Yes. That close. Okay.
And even closer is better, because you might not notice, but it makes a hell of a difference. But you always look different. I think we decided last week that it was your hair or something.
Yeah, it was the hair. Yeah, and growing it out.
Is that what it is? Growing it out?
Yeah, I'm just growing out the hair.
Yeah.
Just too lazy to get a haircut, honestly.
Dude, that's how I feel about, like, working out. I'm just like, I'm bulking. No, I'm just eating like a fucking fat person.
You're just at McDonald's like, yeah. Dude, I'm bulking with this double cheeseburger right now.
McDonald's is my new weakness. I'm not going to lie. It's hard. But, yeah. Oh, you too?
Oh, no. Sports bars that have boneless wings are shit. My weakness.
Damn.
That and beer.
Bars in general. Yeah, beer. What do you like to drink? I've been creeping on you. I see
you've been creeping on me really bad. It's like, so I noticed you've been drinking this lately.
Yeah, it's like some Nardwar shit.
Just whatever random stuff. Like if I'm on budget.
Corona. You
know, Corona, the Miller High Life.
I think Miller High Life's the budget beer, right?
It is.
Cheap.
Get a bucket of that for like $12.50 some places.
Damn.
Yeah.
I used to talk shit about the Bud Light drinkers, but I find myself just resorting back to drinking the queer beer, as they say.
The queer beer.
Yeah. And we can say that, right? It doesn't matter.
I think one time's okay. Yeah, like, all right, you get
yeah, that was my time. One. That was my one gay joke the whole podcast. So,
oh, there's gonna be more,
but I can't say them. But
it could be
anyways.
Sus.
Anyways, it's nice to have you back, kicking this back into gear, and obviously we're gonna catch the folks up on, you know, what you've been doing, mainly in like the world of stand up. If you want to talk about that, unless something else is more interesting, but
no, what I'm doing currently right now is way more interesting than my outside life.
Like your jokes are more interesting, you're saying?
No, they're the same jokes. Like I'll sprinkle in some new ones here and there. Like I have some new material that I've been working on, but
yeah,
just kind of like rehearsing the old stuff a bit, getting more of a flow of that.
Yeah, I found that I was only doing the old shit for like the past 2 months and it just got really stale. I was working on shit, but I felt kind of lazy. Like I'm not writing new stuff. So I don't know. I'm one of those guys where I hate repeating myself to the same group of people. I just feel like it's kind of like, obviously I'm doing an act, but it feels phony in a way, even though I guess that's what we're doing, is just figuring out what works. But
yeah, like if your new material is like not going well and you still need to hit the right board, just bring out old jokes that killed.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So you working on the old stuff just perfecting the stuff at the open mic and then writing new stuff each day or just randomly?
Whenever the inspiration hits, but I'm still working on the new stuff. Like I got a whole bunch, been writing a lot more right now. Shameless plug here. Got a roast coming up.
Oh yeah. That's what I wanted to talk about. Roast.
I know. I'm excited about that.
It's at Hilltop on this Saturday.
Yep. This Saturday up at Hilltop and everything.
And it's with none other than Juan.
Juan.
Juan. I always say his name wrong. I say Juan, but it's Juan.
It's Juan.
Juan Manero.
Juan Manero.
Manero?
Yeah, I actually met up with Juan Tuesday, yesterday.
You just said his name wrong like I was saying. You got to give it the ch.
No, I actually met up with him yesterday when we were kind of like just giving each other notes because we don't know each other that well.
Yeah, and you guys are going to be going at it pretty hard. Pause.
I'm not going to give anything away. No, I told him, like, dude, just go at it. Just even if it's like cutthroat, let's do it.
That's good. And he's the same way. He's just like, hit me with the best shit.
Hit me with it. Just don't make it repetitive. Like, oh, you're Spanish or whatever. I'm like,
I'm thinking of a, of a word, but I can't say it.
It's like Guatemalan.
Is he Guatemalan?
I think his dad, I can't remember last night.
I think it's Guatemala.
Yes.
Yes.
But.
I wanted to bring that up because I'm actually, he hit me up because he wants to be on the podcast. So it's like, I guess it'll probably happen after the whole roast is done, but I guess we'll do like a recap when he's here. And, man, the roast should be, I've never done a roast, but this should be really interesting.
It has been interesting because it has forced me to like sit down and write like, okay. Yeah.
And focus on one person, one subject. Yeah.
It's like, what can I make fun of this guy for? Like, as I'm writing out all this stuff, I'm like, man, a lot of this could be just about me.
Damn. So, race jokes?
No.
No race jokes? You're not going to pull one race joke out?
I have one, but it's not, like, too bad. It's just, like,
Don't spoil it.
I'm not going to spoil it. Yeah. I gave a little teaser last night of what one of the roasts I was going to do.
Mm.
And got some good feedback on that. The whole crowd laughed. I'll share that one. You know how Juan dresses and everything. I was kind of
how does he dress? Kind of like fancier.
Yeah, kind of fancy pants, kind of like Spencer a little bit and everything.
That's exactly who I thought of.
And I was drawing a blank on stage, and I'm just like, "Crap, what do I say?" I'm like, "Oh, okay, I'll do this." And I go, "Give it up for Juan, everyone. Juan was a good sport. Juan did a really good job. It's like, Juan, I love your style. You always dress like you just came out of jury duty."
Damn. That is good. Out of jury duty. Yeah, so he just lost my train of thought there. When I'm thinking of writing a roast, I think it depends on the person. Like, there's probably people I have loads of gas, like loads of shit I could throw at them. And then there's probably people where I just can't think of anything. Like, even if I know them well or not. So for some reason. What?
No, I was agreeing with you. It's like, I don't want to be like too mean, but I'm like, just make it funny.
Make it funny. Yeah, I guess roasts could be like interchangeable with anybody, depending how general they are.
Well, I'm pretty excited to see how this goes and everything, because it's really just going to be, he says something and I rebuttal, and I say something and he rebuttals.
Damn, do you think he's going to bring up your disorder?
Oh, I told him he could. I gave him full permission. It's like anything that happened.
Yeah.
Like, I just went through a breakup. It's like, bring that up.
I'm damn.
Like, do that. Just anything. That's right. I don't care. Just anything. It's like, just anything.
Yeah, I think writing for a roast might be more fun and easier than writing jokes.
Really? You at think least so? To me.
Yeah, that's what I think. I mean, it's pretty easy just to pick shit out that you can make fun of about people. I mean, like, you, like, this fucking guy, he just makes bread. That, you know, this guy, he just got...
This is make bread.
This loser just got dumped. Yeah, that's all right.
It's all good. But no, it's been a challenge, and it's been interesting to, like, push myself to write something like that.
Because
I can write just random stuff on my notebook all day. I'm like,
right.
Yeah, giraffes are stuck up. I don't like giraffes. Giraffes are weird. And just go from there. But we're like, what? Who is Juan? Juan. Who is Juan?
Who is Juan?
Who is he? You start getting philosophical about like,
Yeah, I went to one roast. It was like a female roast with, I think, I don't even remember, Gretchen and, I can't even remember the other person's name.
Talking about the good old 20s.
The 20s, yeah. That was a good era.
I went there once, and that was interesting. I missed that room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she hosted it. I think she was being roasted or roasting, I think Allison maybe. And there was just one thing that she said that stuck with me, and she was like, I think Allison's to Allison. She was like, Allison, you're basically a calculator with tits. And I don't know why, but that shit just sticks to me to this day. Just like, she's kind of right.
It's that randomness. It's like that unexpected, like, oh.
And it almost like makes sense. It's like, I don't even know why, but she's kind of like a calculator. But
that's hilarious. Dude,
I miss the 20s. I think they do EDM music there now. And where was that? Was that East Walnut Hills?
Yeah, that was East Walnut Hills, yeah.
Yeah, so they do EDM there. You ever mess with those crowds?
No, that's not my cup of tea.
No.
No.
You're not
you look like a big EDM guy.
Definitely not a big one. I have been to some shows because I'm friends with DJs, but...
Yeah, you look like you woke up in places you weren't familiar with.
I have. I have. I'm definitely not a ketamine user or a coke user like those people. And that, I mean, that's fine with me if they use it, but I just don't. But yeah, those people just seem to be out of their mind at when they're at the show.
Yeah, that's one thing. Like, there's like out of your mind, and then there's out of your mind with a beat and some drugs.
Yes.
Like, I'll be out of my mind in the woods.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to be in a party with a whole bunch of other people with beats to it. I'm like,
You think that'd be like stimulation overload? Like, you just lose your brain?
I'm like, I need to get out of here. Yeah. Freaking out the entire time. I'm like,
yeah, just feeling like everyone's watching you.
Yeah, and they're seeing me do this, like, that's my funky little dance. Like, I'm socializing.
You're just the head nod guy.
Oh, that just the creepy guy in the bar, like.
Yeah, literally sitting down, just way in the back. Yeah.
Are you having fun?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm having fun.
Damn. You know, people tell me I give off, like, serial killer vibes. I don't know why. But I don't think I would ever be considered the creepy guy. Just because I think I just look too much like a kid or something. They're just like, oh, he's just a young boy. He wouldn't, you know.
I think that's how it starts with most serial killers. Like, yeah, he seemed like an innocent man. He was very quiet. Yeah.
He shot squirrels in the backyard all the time, but he's a good kid.
You want to hear something weird that I saw today?
Hmm.
Speaking of like serial killers, I saw an old man on the sidewalk dancing with a knife.
Wow.
He was just like.
What part
pointing at cars and everything, what with this giant Bowie knife and everything.
Wow.
And he had like this old hat on, and he looked like he wasn't right. I'm like,
on drugs.
I don't know what it was. Maybe he was having a bad day.
Maybe. What part of town was it?
That was in Delhi.
Township. Oh, Delhi. Nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We like Delhi. What street was it on?
I think it was Foley.
Foley. Damn.
It was one of those houses near there, and I'm just seeing it. And I see him point at my car and chuck the knife on the ground. I'm like,
really?
I'm like, I'm not going back that
way. What the fuck? Holy shit.
You just see the weirdest stuff. And I'm like, I don't know if the guy was just like, just having a good time, just partying.
I think drugs.
I think drugs.
Who parties with a knife outside?
Renaissance Fair people, I don't know. Yeah,
maybe at the Renaissance Fair.
That seems like a very appropriate place. On the sidewalk in a random neighborhood? Nah, it's not okay.
Delhi, though.
Yeah, Delhi is not as crazy. Lower Price Hill is crazy, though.
Yeah, isn't that where you live, Price Hill?
No.
Are you from Price Hill?
I'm from Price Hill, yeah.
Which... don't put me in that category.
Don't put me with those critters.
What street did you live on when you lived there?
I lived on Elbron, Mount Echo, and everything.
Yeah, dude.
And that was
down the hill.
Yeah, down the hill, man. And I was a latchkey kid too, so I just had my big lab with me and just walk around that neighborhood and everything.
You have brothers or sisters?
I didn't have any living with me at the time.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was stuff like that, but that neighborhood was crazy. There was always like some gunshot. Yeah. And it's before like heroin got real big and everything. So there weren't as many like dancing junkies walking around. But the occasional car wreck or gunshot in the distance. Because we were like literally right next door to Lower Price Hill.
Mm-hmm. On the way there.
On the way there. And It was a crazy experience. Sometimes I get that up and chivy it in my neighborhood.
Huh.
And I'm just like, I had one guy just like walk past me. He's like, get out of the way, fucker.
And like, chivy it?
Yeah. And I was just like trying to keep pace with this old lady behind me. And he was like, get out of my way, fuckers.
It's like some New York shit.
That is. I'm like, man, it's 6 o'clock in the morning. Why are you so angry?
Damn. Yeah, I mean. The reason I ask is because I lived on Academy in Price Hills. You know where that is?
No.
So that's right off of West 8th, just right by I guess Seton and Elder.
Oh, that area. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I remember that now.
Mm. So I know all those streets pretty well from growing up there. And I know where you're talking about is not the best place to be.
No, that spot was so weird because you had one section, like the other street over, like on top of the hill and everything. People that were like well-to-do.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah.
Weird, like lower middle class. And on my street, it was white trash people. And the white trash people were the most racist people on the planet. And if you go one block up, it would be other neighborhoods with a more general, like black neighborhoods and everything. So it was weirdly segregated.
Yeah.
And it was like, what the crap? Like, why is everyone here and why are the rest over there? But then you go across the street, whole different neighbors and everything. Like multi-ethnicity neighbors and everything. But for some reason, on one stretch on that side of the road, which is all racist white people. Like, here's how innocent I was back in the day. I had a friend of mine come from school come over to my house who happened to be black. And the neighborhood kids saw that.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And they went, N-word lover.
Wow. Straight to the point.
Just straight to a point. Like, why you got that? Are you some sort of beep? I'm like,
damn.
Mom, what does that mean? It's like, ignore it, son.
Yeah. I guess it makes sense, white trash people over there. Because there's one person that still lives there, and they have this giant Trump flag just hanging up on their house, like, entirely. And I'm like, I mean, there's probably not a black family that lives there. It's just my guess. So now it makes sense. There probably is just more white trash once you go down that hill toward, like, the highway, I guess. If you're heading down.
It's so weird, but then all of a sudden it's like you got other neighborhoods that are fine. They're not like that at all. But it was so weird on that little stretch of Elberon.
Yeah.
It was just the most like, I'm better than them. It's like, no, you're not, meth mouth. You're
Yeah, dude, that's crazy.
It's always the most horrible people who have the dumbest opinions.
Yeah, because it doesn't take much thought to have a dumb opinion.
But
man, that's crazy. So we have similar, well, I guess we know the area, so we have, I want to say, similar upbringings, but we just sort of have similar environments, I guess.
Yeah, so to speak. Similar environments. Like, I've been finding out, like, a whole bunch of comics used to live in Delhi.
Really? Yeah.
Because I moved there with my mom.
Same thing for me. I moved from Price Hill to Delhi.
Really?
Yeah.
That is so crazy.
And Covedale, sort of.
Yeah, Covedale, Delhi and everything, that was like a very quiet neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Not much there. Unless you were 21, then you can go into the bars. But
yeah.
Other than that, like, what was there to do in that town?
Where did you, which street in Delhi did you move to?
We moved on to Greenwell. Yeah.
Right by my old house.
Really?
Yeah, dude.
Are you kidding me?
I swear, Greenwell
Avenue, yeah.
Well, sort of. So that's by UDF then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm more back by the Delshire Apartments, but I mean, it's still the same area.
Delshire Apartments was weird because it's like you see all these nice manicured lawns, then you go to those apartment complexes and you just like, oh, now I'm just back in the old neighborhood again.
Yeah, it's weird because there's like a subdivision back there of just all nice houses. And then shit's just going really downhill lately with like everyone's renting nowadays. So they'll have like a really nice house next to just some piece of shit where no one cuts the grass or does anything.
Oh, man.
And then that's why everyone wants to leave. Like the people with money are like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Oh, that's true.
It's going downhill quickly. And I think so. And if you know, so like Delhi Avenue, so toward River Road.
Yeah.
Were those like where you're going, I guess you would know if you're passing Rosemont.
Yeah.
Going down that hill. That's where it starts to get really bad too. Or just like, and it's more of the white people. The same thing with your area was like the
damn honkies,
white trash. Yeah, dude.
Honkies ruin everything.
Yeah, I'm starting to find out they do.
But no, I did love it because I did love that area because there was always these like little wooded areas that you could just explore and everything. And oh my god, I was such a bad kid back then. Me and my friends back in the day grouped all our money together. And it's the same stereotype. Like, we always had one friend that was dating someone older, like 21 or so.
Damn, how old were you guys? 16?
Freshman in high school, so
holy
16,
shit.
17.
Freshman, no, that's like 14.
Yeah, whatever. I'm not good with numbers, man.
Either way, that's 14 dating a 21-year-old.
To me, that was common because I saw that all the time, but it was like normally the people with issues.
If the older person is the woman, it's usually okay. But if the older person is the man, it's like, oh.
I hung out with one girl that was dating like a 40-year-old. I'm like, ew.
And she was a minor?
Yeah.
Okay.
Teenager, what's wrong with you?
What's wrong with the 40-year-old, bro? Yeah,
exactly. What's wrong with, but still, it's like, you think, and I looked, I saw him, like, he looked like a trucker. I'm like, wow. This is hot to you?
Wow.
But going back to the story, we grouped all our money together, and we got as much alcohol as we could. And, of course, kids with alcohol, one parent's away having fun, the kids are at home having fun.
Hell yeah.
And then we found out the mom was coming home early, so we kind of took the bottles and went to the park. And for some reason, something was telling me, like, I shouldn't be carrying this bottle of liquor. I shouldn't be carrying this at all. So I decided to stash it. Well, no one knew I had it. So I stashed it, met up with my friends, and we were just walking around the park and everything. Almost everyone was carrying a bottle. This cop pulls in, sees us, and goes, "All of you, stop right now."
Delhi police?
Yeah, it was Delhi police.
Ooh, you're not getting off.
Oh, well. Luckily, I got off because I wasn't carrying anything. But here's the funny story about that, and just goes with my personality sometimes. My mom called me. She was like, "Where are you? Where the heck are you? Blah, blah, blah." And the cop's like, "Hey, you get back here right now." And I said, "One second." And he goes, "Excuse me?" I'm like, "Mom, I got a cop yelling at me. I'll call you back."
Yeah. She's like, "Okay, just another day in Ian's life."
Her motto was, as long as she didn't get a call from collect call from county, she did not.
Really?
Wow. Whatever I did was my decision. She was just like, "All right, son, well, what did we learn?" I'm like, "Not to do that again." She was the type of parent, if she saw me with a penny and running into a light sock, she's like, "He needs to learn. He needs to learn."
Well, maybe that's a good thing. Have you been arrested ever?
I've been in back of a police car for almost getting into fights, and cops were getting called. Just a lot of guys beating their chest. "Bah, bah, bah. Really? Gonna mess you up, bro. I'll mess you up." But
really,
I got a question for you. Were you ever in a fight at all?
My entire life, was I ever in a fight?
Yeah.
More just like not real fights, but like scrap is the word I would say. You know, you might throw a couple punches, but that's really like.
Did anyone like take their shirt off like before the fight? Like, "All right, man, let's go."
I've seen that watching fights, but not in mine. No.
I've seen people do that to me all the time. It's like, "All right, man, let's
go." I've actually done that like at the beginning of like a little fight. Just rip my shirt off. Not rip it, but yeah.
I just don't understand. I'm like, what is up with that?
Well, I mean, my idea is like, then they can't grab you by the shirt sort of thing. So you can move and slip out of shit easier.
All right, man. I don't need to know your jiu-jitsu techniques.
I'm just saying.
I know. It's good.
Yeah.
Damn.
Last time I took my shirt off for a fight was probably like a year ago, and I didn't end up hitting the person because it was a woman. But downtown, I think I was just talking shit to her, and she started throwing glass bottles at me, and which I don't think I deserved that, but she like came up to me and pulled my shirt over my head, so I think that's why I had to just like take the whole thing off.
Oh, I'm already here. Yeah.
And then a group of like dudes came up and like, hey, why are you fighting with this girl, or why are you taking your shirt off, this and that? And I'm just like, eh, whatever, peace out. It was like New Year's, so everything was going crazy down at the banks. So,
oh man.
I haven't been back to like a really, I say a bar, but I mean, I go to bars for stand up, but that's it. I don't go to bars to drink anymore.
Right.
I get in too much, just like when I drink, bad things follow, you know? They follow me or I cause them, but.
I've had learned that the hard way several times too. I'm like, probably should calm my drinking.
Yeah, that's the main thing I was going to ask you, like the drinking, because that's reasons why I've gotten in trouble with cops.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it could, I want to bring the way my mom raised me into it. She would always like, don't do this, don't do that. But it was not like in the way that you're saying your mom was, where she was like, wait and see. My mom was more just like, don't let it happen. Like anxious, just
right.
Trying to prevent it. And I'm wondering if your mom's parenting style is the reason why you haven't gotten into too much trouble, whereas with mine, it was kind of I ended up getting in trouble.
My mom and my dad both have this way of parenting back in the day, which was, I'm going to tell you a story that happened to me involving X, Y, and Z, like drugs or alcohol, yeah. Whatever. Whatever you do after that, well, I told you the dangers of it.
Yeah, that sounds like a real dad story.
Well, my dad's story were always like, oh, I was hanging out with my buddies and everything, blah, blah, blah. My mom's stories are always like, your uncle got really high on cocaine once and crashed his plane while he was a helicopter pilot in Vietnam.
Wow.
So don't do drugs. I'm like, I don't plan on flying a helicopter either.
I mean, that kind of sounds badass to me, but not the crash, but just flying the helicopter.
Oh yeah,
in Vietnam.
There's a lot of stories like that that I'll probably tell on stage later in the day. Not in the day.
Yeah, tonight. Going up tonight to tell these stories.
I will be at the tap room.
Yeah, will you?
Yeah, I'm going up to the tap room at 8:30 today.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Might do a late block. I don't know. But I'm definitely be up there.
What's that one like? Because I know that has musicians as well as comedy.
I wasn't there for the musicians one time. So this will be my first time with like that mixture. But it's not bad.
Yeah. Seems like it's getting more popular.
It definitely is. Because I remember it back in like the 2010s and everything.
Really? Holy shit.
Well, the habanero attached to her, like, that I remember, that used to be just, like, a hole-in-a-wall type of joint.
Yeah.
And now they got all, like, cleaned up and everything. The bathrooms are actually clean. And there's not... It's just a lot better. I've seen that they're making a lot of improvements to it.
Yeah. Well, the place is nice, but I think I just mean, like, comedians seem to be popping up there more, whereas before... It wasn't one of like the staple mics. Like there are mics where I'm just like, that's a popular one, like the Hub, which is I guess going away.
Yeah, I heard some tragic news that
the bar really?
Got sold or something.
Oh, okay.
Bar got sold or it's closing, one or the other.
Huh.
I just found out about it.
So. Yeah, me too. I saw it on Facebook, so
I was like, damn. That was the third open mic I went to.
Damn. Yeah, that was always like my favorite Monday mic, but I've also only went there once for comedy. I do like the bar though, but
the bar is good. But it's such a go ahead.
No, what about the bar?
The bar is a pain to get to. It's a pain to get to because you're getting bombarded with homeless people every 5 seconds.
Oh yeah, OTR.
Yep. It's like, hey man, you got a cigarette?
I've been asked.
Can I hold a dollar or something like that?
Yeah, dude.
I'm like, I don't have a dollar, man. I was like, you ain't got nothing? I'm like, I just said I don't have anything.
Yep. Dude.
There was one time I walked up there. It was my second time going there. And I was just walking down the street, and I see at the corner of my eye, like, a person walking. They see me and just start cutting through all the parking lots and everything just to get to me.
Really?
Yeah. And she goes, excuse me. She clearly looks strung out and everything. She's like, you got a dollar? I'm like,
damn,
I don't have a dollar.
Yeah.
And she goes, and just walks away. I'm like,
dude,
are you serious?
I don't understand those people who are just like, why do I owe you a dollar? For what reason do I need to give you my money?
Well, I think people fall on hard times and everything, and sometimes they just need like a dollar to get through or $5 to get through.
Yeah, I know, but what's my dollar going to do for you anyway?
Well, I think it just relates to like how that woman looked. It was like, okay, you were clearly on something, and I'm not going to give you money.
Yeah.
But I generally did not have cash on me whatsoever.
Yeah.
But it's like there, you can tell like someone's just down there like, hey man, I just lost my job. I need like $5 for rent. Do you have
$5 for rent? But no one.
I just lost my job and I'm $5 short for rent. That I can understand.
It's just the concept of like, obviously you want to be kind and all, but why do I, a stranger, owe you money? Why do I give you my money just because you asked for it?
Because you're a nice person, Tyler. Because you're a nice person.
I guess that's the only reason. Because, like, I probably wouldn't even do that for,
I don't know, your own mother? Your heart.
I was going to say a friend, but I would definitely give money to a friend. But it's just, like, I don't know you, plus you're on drugs, and, like, why? Why do I owe you money?
Well, they're coming out and saying, like, that's the worst thing you can do is to give them money and everything. You're supposed to, like, push them towards, like, the clinics and everything.
Because you know where the money's going. You're just buying drugs or alcohol, cigarettes.
You ever seen that old meme of like the homeless person, like, my family was kidnapped by ninjas. I need money for karate lessons.
Yes.
I would give that man whatever change I have in my pocket. Glove box, I'm reaching for that last quarter that fell. Yeah. And I'm like, man, you go get your family back.
Yeah, I feel like he worked for that dollar. He gave you like a little laugh. It was entertaining.
Right.
I see a guy down on the banks, and his sign says, like, why lie? I need money for beer, something like that. And I see that guy all the time, and I'm just like, give that fucking guy a dollar. Give him a beer.
Man.
But do you know this man? You look like...
No, you just made me think of this documentary I just watched about, like, train hoppers.
Mm.
Like, modern-day hobos.
That sounds interesting.
It is interesting and disgusting at the same time. Because these are just people at the young age of like 14 just ran away from home.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is just the ultimate freedom and everything. I can sleep when I want. I can do whatever I want. I'm free and all this other stuff. I'm like, yeah, but you're sleeping in a train car with the potential of getting found out and getting... You smacked around and put in jail. Mm-hmm. Like,
what are these people? Well, do they have money to buy food or anything?
No, it's just all panhandling, or they work odd jobs like the old hobos used to do back in the day.
Huh.
The old hobos back in the day, I read about one of them, and that was an interesting story. Same concept, young age, like this guy from the 1920s to the 40s. Like 14 years old, started train hopping. And it was just, but back in that day, you could do it and find work, and it wasn't really a big deal because it was very common.
Yeah.
Right now, we got all these rules and regulations and stuff like that versus that was the Great Depression.
Mm-hmm.
You could only find work if you, like, took a train to Wyoming or something.
Yeah.
And he was talking about, like, I met the nicest people on the earth, and I met some of the worst hobos ever.
Can only imagine.
I'll show you this quote that he told me. It's like, look, and it's such a cliche thing to say because we hear it all. It's like with gun owners. Like, now I'm a responsible gun owner.
Yeah.
There's some bad gun owners, but I'm a responsible one. And it's not characterized by all of us. And he was like the same way he started. Like, now I know there's some bad hobos out there, But the good ones were the good hobos, all right? The true hobo knows. And he's like, but there was this one hobo, if I ever saw him, I would have beaten him up.
Damn.
And I forget that disgusting hobo's name. But he was quoted to say this. Women are made for breeding. Boys are made for pleasure.
Whoa.
Yeah. I'm like, what was going on back then? That was the only dark point of that entire thing.
Yeah.
Like, other times he was just like, yeah, I survived a couple harsh winters. I worked a couple jobs at an orchard field. I met a vegetarian hobo. I'm like, what?
they make like being homeless sound like a culture thing. Like, it's like a group. Like, it, you just do it. Is it like a type of lifestyle for them? Is that what they're trying to say?
Yeah, that it was like a weird little subculture and everything, because all they wanted to do was just have the freedom to like just work a job for however long, hop on a train, and just go wherever they want to go. They weren't tied down anywhere.
Yeah. So, they needed money somehow. So they just worked a little bit and said, fuck it.
It's he even said himself, like, I worked a job for about a month, then I just started getting that itch just to get back on the rails.
Wow.
And it's the same thing with, like, the train hoppers of today, which minus, like, you know, the need to work and everything, it's more of just a freedom, not having debt, not having to worry about bills and everything like that, and just seeing this country.
Yeah, it'd be interesting if we could actually live like that here, but it's like, to me, it seems like you can't do anything in America without money.
No, it sadly, it's all about money.
It is all about money. But if you figure out the money side of things, then maybe you can have some fun. Maybe that's your freedom when you finally get the money.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That's sort of how I view it, but you can take it anyway. But I don't know, those hobos, they remind me of like hippies, like the hippie culture, where I guess people just wanted to... They just wanted to express themselves, or they just wanted to be free?
Free love and everything. Yeah, it was smoke also during weed. Like wartime. Smoke a lot of horrible weed, drop acid.
Damn.
And then later on, and when the 80s kicked around, they decided, like, you know what? Corporate job seems really good for me. Boomers. I'm just kidding.
Is that what happened? Hippies got jobs.
Hippies turned into...
They grew up.
They grew up and turned to corporate shills. Huh. Whatever.
And it's weird. It's a weird world.
Well, it's kind of like doing comedy and everything. Like, we have this open freedom just to go up and just tell jokes of whatever's on our mind. And we're not making any money from it either.
No. I'm starting to, like, really try and break it down, because I feel like everyone that does comedy has their own, like, opinion for why they do it or what they're getting out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think everyone's doing it for the same reason. I don't know what, I know some people like just to make people laugh, like that's their thing. And then other people, they just like the attention of being on stage. And then, so I mean, yeah, it just comes down to the person, like why you do it.
Why do you do it?
I really don't even know.
You don't even know?
I know the main thing is like being able to talk in front of people. Like that was the main thing I get out of it, is just being a better public speaker. So screw being funny, just like being a persuasive, charismatic public speaker. I'm working on the charismatic part, but
yeah, you got a long way to go with that.
Yeah, it's all right. It'll come in time. But yeah, it's not like, maybe at the beginning I was like, hey, I'm gonna make some money doing this stuff, and then it's like, well, there's no money here. You sometimes lose more money than you make.
And you honestly can't think about the money, because eventually it will start to roll in.
Yeah.
But
I think if that's your plan, is like to get to the money, you probably want to start with like building some sort of fan base or category for yourself, so people know what they're coming to see before they go.
Yeah, finding what you hear all the time in the comedic circles is your voice.
Your voice, yeah. I hear that a lot too. And I'm like, I know my voice. I found my voice. And it's like, yeah, maybe I haven't. Some people spend like 10 years developing that. And then
I got a question for you about that, like the 10 years thing. Do you believe it's honestly 10 years? I think I asked you this before on the last episode we did together. Do you think it actually takes 10 years?
I think so, yeah. I mean, up to 10 years at least before you, like, I don't know. I don't know what happens at the 10-year mark, but, like, yeah. Well, what do you want to get out of it first, I guess, is what...
That is true. That's something you got to think about. I honestly just like making people laugh.
Yeah.
Like, if people are having a good time, I'm having a good time.
Yeah, and you enjoy joke writing?
Not so much. I have a hard time sitting down and just doing it.
But when you got something good, does that make you feel like anything?
Oh, 100% does. I was talking with Hamill the other night, and I'm like, I just looked at him. I'm just like, do you ever, like, feel the pulse?
Mm.
You know what I mean by that? Like the jokes that you're saying are just, the crowd gets it.
Yeah.
And they're just laughing, like, joke after joke. They're just, you got them on every punchline. It's just flowing very nice.
It's like you're casting a spell with words. That's how I view it. It's like I'm just saying things, but they're reacting in this crazy way because what I'm saying has been formed, you know what I mean, set up, written out sort of thing.
Half the time, it's not even formed or set out all the way. It's just whatever you just did at that moment just worked.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, it's... Some laughs are like a laugh because it's a joke, or some laughs are just because it's like a funny thing in the moment, off the cuff, sort of. So.
And you can't predict when off the cuff works or the thing you just wrote worked.
No.
But.
It all does come down to the crowd, I feel like.
It does. Like at Hi-Fi yesterday, the crowd was very good. Very good crowd.
I missed it.
Did you see the photo that Spencer put on his story?
What was it?
It was just that room. It was like shoulder to shoulder packed with people.
I do want to see it. But I saw your story of Nicky B.
Yeah, Nick Benavides. Dude. My boy got back on the stage. Yeah,
it's been a while.
I love that man.
I like his style. I like his jokes. Like
the
thing that he talked about. What was he talking about? Oh, yeah, the listening to Tupac in traffic.
Oh, what is this? weird. We're like two kindred spirits here.
Yeah. Did we just become friends? Yeah, that was good.
I love seeing him back on stage, man. It's
what
good
has
that
he been
got
like,
up there.
What's he been doing? Do you know?
He's been focused on his career, man.
Really?
Yeah, we all have outside lives and not just comedy 24/7.
Some people don't. Not a lot, but some comedians don't, like, that is their life.
Nothing wrong with that
either. Obviously not you or I think it's too early in the stages for that, but
but going back to Nick, stroking him off here,
I'm just curious, what does he do for work?
I don't know, really. I know he was HR for some company.
People just be like, I'm busy,
but it's people like that you never expect, like, wait, what do you do? It's like, I'm HR. I work human resources. I'm like,
I could see that.
Huh. I'm like, okay.
He seems like real respectable. Like, like when you got him on the phone, he's like, hey, I'm sorry, blah, blah, blah.
Hi, Nick Benavides speaking.
Yes, I could see that. That's what I mean.
But then you check out his playlist. It's all just gangster rap, like Murder, Blood, Crips, Crips, Blood, Murder.
I wonder if it's like that. I might have to sit down and talk to him about rap.
Oh, he would love it. There was one podcast he was on, Love the Bomb. You ever heard of that?
Love the Bomb.
Mm-hmm.
That was Lauren and... What's his name? Lauren and...
I forget his name, too. Crap. He's gonna listen to... You know me!
He just came back to the Chameleon last weekend, or last Thursday, too.
Yes, he did. He also runs Millions Cafe Open Mic on Sundays, too.
His name's in my head, but I lost it.
You're right.
I guess it doesn't matter, but what's their podcast name?
Love the Bomb.
Okay.
By Nick Benavides.
Fagan Bush. Damn it.
Nick Fagan Bush.
Yep. Or Luke, I think.
Luke.
Luke.
Sorry.
Anyways. Yes.
But no, he was on there and he was talking about how much he loved rap music and everything. And he would write poems and not poems, lyrics and everything. I'm like, this guy is cool.
Yeah.
It's like you.
I would no. Yeah, you say you wouldn't expect Nick to be HR. I wouldn't expect him to be a rap fan like that.
Well, I was about to say too. Like it just baffles me the outside lives of other people.
Yeah.
Like I think one comic cleans like tombstones and everything.
Wow.
Yep.
Probably not close to that person. I feel like they're a darker character. I don't know.
Nope. The nicest person on the planet. Very bubbly.
Oh. But before we talk about anything, I wanted to say, like, I do listen to did they stop their podcast? I was listening to Love the Bomb for a long time.
I do believe it stopped because I know one of the guys moved to, like, Colorado or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it Lauren? Did he move?
Yeah, I think it's Lauren. Real tall guy with
tall guy.
He had the multicolored hair and yeah. Everything. I loved his stand-up. I always took...
He was always... Like Adderall'd up, I think. That was his
thing. I don't know what he was on, but it was just great. His energy was like the cleanness of Jeff Foxworthy, but with the like just the craziness of like think of any comic that just moves around a lot.
Yeah, I think it was the Adderall. he was, yeah.
But he was so funny on stage, and he was just like, I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, I just miss seeing that guy. I don't even think I really hung out with them, but like, I don't know. I grow these third person relationships when I hear them speaking on stage. Cause it's like, how can you not feel like you get to know someone?
Right.
And in reality, I don't really talk too much. I mean, I talk to you most, you're probably like the person I talk to most at the open mics. But aside from that, I think people only know me from what I say on stage. Cause that's the most of what they hear about me.
Right.
And sometimes that's bad because I guess people don't really separate the joke from the person sort of thing where it's like, guys, I don't actually mean any of this absurd stuff. But well, yeah, I don't know. Maybe I should be more outgoing.
Trying to be outgoing and separating yourself from the work from the artist is a good thing to do. Because to me, I'm not that energetic.
Yeah.
I'm not.
You had a lady tell me last week I was really deadpan, and then I'm just like, okay, I guess I am. I just got the deep, like, monotone voice, like, hey, guys. I could make it interesting when we're on the podcast talking like this, but, you know.
No one wants to hear your Duhast impression.
What?
What? Your monotone. You never heard of Rammstein?
I don't think so.
You uncultured swine.
Sounds like an alcohol drink.
Sounds like a really delicious alcohol drink.
But like no, Rumpel's like a, something.
Yeah. Rammstein's like a German Austrian band or something.
Mm. Oh, band.
You might know them from like the Triple X movie. They're that opening song, File, Fire, 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 whatever.
I don't even know the Triple X movie.
Why it wasn't even on this podcast.
it's not the Vin Diesel movie, is it?
Yes,
it's oh, the okay, Vin Diesel okay. Movie. Well, then I'm good. Okay. I haven't seen it, but I know it. So that doesn't help, but at least I'm on the same page here.
But no, just going back to what you said about, you know, the person that you are on stage and socializing is a big part of it. Like to me, I hate socializing, but like with you, I'm like, okay, Tyler's here. I'm going to say hi to Tyler, blah, blah, blah.
I think it does come down to the person. Some people, you feel like you have to work really hard just to get something out of them to talk. And then with others, it's like it just flows. So
it's just find who you click with a lot. Like just having natural conversations. Like I've tried to talk to other comics and it's just like, hey, how are you doing?
Yeah.
I'm doing good. How are you?
Oh, yeah, that's literally
I'm good.
The extent of it.
Did you do anything fun? I made bread. It's like, oh. I'm going to go inside. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, that's my favorite. The quiet, like, 5 seconds. I'm going to go inside now. And I'm like, okay. Or the people, my real favorite is when they don't announce it. They just fucking walk away as you're still, like, talking to them. Has that happened to you?
It's happened to me quite a few times. And I'm just like, okay.
Yeah. Bye. It's like, okay. Well, you're inside if I need you. So
I'm going to find you. I'm going to finish this conversation.
Yeah, I want to know. I want to know your favorite color.
What's your social security number?
That's my second question.
Follow-up question. What's your mother's maiden name?
And your birthday?
And your birthday. What was the moon's lunar phase at that time?
Jeez. Mm. Yeah, you're right. The separation of, like, the art. Because I guess you're up there doing art. You're not really just being yourself. No, per se.
I never feel like I'm myself. Like, last night, I was just this energetic, just flowy, very hyper, very... You know what, guys? This is all this and just not having that hesitation that I normally do when I'm off stage.
Yeah.
Like, when I got done with that set, like, I was walking through and everyone was like, oh, my God, that was such a good improv and this and this. I'm like, yeah, okay, thank you.
You peaked. That was it.
That was it. That was my... And I'm just sitting on the couch behind there. I'm just going...
Quiet.
Just, like, coming down. Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah. I've wasted my social battery.
Coming down, yeah. You definitely get, like, a high or just, like, an energy from it where it's just, like, you're sort of just... Or me, I'm just, like, really smiley after I get off from a good set or just, like, real just, like, giggly and shit. Damn, what you said something. When you're on stage, you sort of feel... To me, I think it's like I have the power of a microphone, so no one's going to talk over me. Mm-hmm. So even if I'm saying the stupidest shit possible, it doesn't matter because you have to listen. And I'll sort of add the little, like, confidence to it to give it that extra hit, you know? But, yeah, I get the same thing where it's like once I get off stage and I'm just, like, trying to have a conversation with someone is kind of just like, oh, well, oh, good, nice, okay.
Or someone's trying to have a conversation with you and you're just like,
okay. Could we have this conversation in front of everyone else? Maybe then I'd be more comfortable.
Can you come back to me in 5 minutes and I'm willing to talk?
There's something to be said about it. I think we all sort of feel that to some extent.
It was very weird because I also talked to Hamill a lot, too. I was talking to him. I was like, he was supposed to, like, take a week off or something, just, like, take a break.
Yeah.
And then I saw him at Hi-Fi. I was like, I'm back up here again. I was like, yeah, I know. It's freaking addicting.
Yeah.
It's so weirdly.
You said it's addicting?
It's very addicting.
Yeah.
It's like, I'll take a week off, and I'm just like, I wonder what everyone's doing at Chameleon or something.
You do get that. I get that FOMO. It's like, I know the mic is happening and then I'm not there. I'm like, oh, something's going down. I'm missing out.
It's like, but you're not. You need to, like.
Some people.
Yeah. If you're, like, fully dedicated and you want to reach that top, good on you. Go for it. I know my limits. My limit is I need a week.
Yeah. Well, for you, it's like the whole social battery thing, right? You just need a break.
Yeah, because I think I talked to you about this one time, like. I just noticed my sets weren't being good. There was something off.
Yeah.
And I just got done doing Brickies last week.
Nice.
And
I think you were like the only Cincinnati guy I recognized in that picture. I'm like, damn, Ian's really doing it. Where's Brickies?
Part Miamisburg, Ohio.
Miamisburg, okay.
Yeah, near Dayton and everything.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
It's a nice club.
It's a very nice club. The host of that club is very nice guy and everything, but like going back to that, like I just felt like it was off. It like I was stuttering, I wasn't confident, and then I found out that I went over.
Wow.
It was not a lot of time, but he did like pull me aside like, hey, here's your time that you were at, just be wary of the light. And I just felt so embarrassed.
Damn.
Even though it wasn't like a lot of time, it was like 30 seconds.
Wow. Surprised he even said anything.
Well, 30 seconds over or something. I think it was like a minute over or something like that.
Where you're just so dazed you missed the light.
I did. I'm just like, crap. And it just made me like, okay, take a seat, relax, enjoy yourself, take a break.
Yeah.
Because to me, when it starts slipping, I'm like, okay, I need to pull back.
I think the important thing for us to remember, especially as like, starting out or earlier guys, is like people don't really pay too much attention to us. Like you sort of think you're like everyone's paying attention to your awkwardness and shit, but really They're just focused on maybe their self or their own set. And, like, I don't know. Because I get that shit, too. It's like, damn, I made a fool of myself in front of 20 people. But after my 5 minutes is up, they're on to the next guy. And they probably already forgot about me anyway.
That happens.
And I think that's the beauty of, like, starting out. It's like no one remembers the dumb, silly shit. I mean, some people do, but...
Some people do.
Yeah.
And I tell those people, get a life, because I'm going to have another different set.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The set, the content's always changing. It's like...
It's always changing. But, yeah, I think going back to what you said, it's... We're all doing the same thing. Like, for some people, socializing until their set comes up works great for them. I know if it's down to the two comics before I go up, I'm in a corner or just trying to get away from people and just getting into that, like, okay, try to remember this, try to do this, hit these points.
Yeah, I didn't think about that whole thing until I started actually going up without my notebook, because then everything has to be there in your head for you to talk about it. And when you're in conversation and shit, your mind is not where your jokes are. So it's like, it's like, yes, I feel that. Yeah. Cause maybe before, like, two comics before me, I'll go and, you know, hide in a corner or whatever and go through my mental notes of everything.
Everyone's different. And it's all about having fun too. Like, I was even talking to Betavitas about that. He's like, man, I just wasn't having fun, and now that I'm back, and it's just, it feels fun again.
Yeah, I think those breaks might be needed, you know?
I think it's all about feeling yourself.
Yeah.
You gotta, like, I know how I am socially, but you could be way different. You could need more socializing than I do.
So, yeah, you're right. I thought about that today. It's like there's no answer for everyone on how to do it, because, like, everyone has their different speed and all that shit, so... But I have taken breaks from going on stage, but not necessarily taken breaks from going out to the mics. So it's kind of interesting. So it's like, yeah, sort of took a break, but I'm still in the environment, you know?
Well, definitely after my shows that are coming up, I'm taking a good week break.
Yeah.
Well, one, the weather's getting nicer.
Yes.
I don't know what's going on with this, like, 40 below stuff in the morning. I'm just kidding.
Really?
What? No, like, it's been cold for the past several days, for some reason, for the past several weeks. And I'm like, what? No. Like, it's been raining for, like, for, like, a good week or something like that. Just every day.
That's depressing, yeah.
I'm just like, I just want it to be warm.
Yeah, it's nice today. I'll take that win. It is nice today. It's like 80 degrees.
I'm loving it. I'm definitely going to spend some time in the woods.
Yeah.
Maybe go on some hikes. Maybe fly a kite. I've been wanting to fly
a kite. I don't think I've ever flown a kite. That's sick.
You want to do a comedian's fly kites or something?
Yeah. And just, what, just film a video of that?
Yeah, so I think the current works of comedy right now are getting less progressive and whatever that bull crap people do now.
Hook a mic up to ourselves and then just talk while we fly a kite. That sounds about right.
What'd you get? I got a dragon. Dragon kite.
Jesus. I don't know how, but we flew through. I mean, we can still talk, but I don't know if you got to go to your...
Yeah, I've got to head out here. I had to cut it short.
I
didn't know we flew.
You're not cutting it short by any means. I'm just kind of like, damn, it's been an hour. So
it's been an hour?
About 58 minutes or so.
God
damn. We must have talked about a lot. I don't
know.
We didn't
talk about anything interesting.
Damn. We
just talked about it in comedy.
I mean, I think that's what we came here to talk about, right?
If you want to get like a controversial like thing, I was like, Donald Trump's going to. I'm just
perfect. Hit me with a bunch of interesting things on the way out. Let's go.
No, but I will say this, like, I'm just having a blast, and I notice I'm starting to like drop that ego or that like self-doubt a little bit more, and I am seeing like little bits improvements in my comedy.
Yeah,
I'm no close to a special by any means,
but you're confident on the stage, you're saying.
Yeah, I'm getting more comfortable on stage. The eye contact is slowly improving. And
I can say that, yeah, it is. When you first started, you literally would not look at the crowd. Ian, you're always looking at the ground. I'm just like, for a while, I thought you were blind. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, before I knew you, I thought you were blind. Yeah.
I am Ian, the blind comic.
And even just like, I don't want to say crowd work per se, but just talking to people in the crowd, I feel like you're getting more comfortable with that too, just from watching.
I try not to do too much of that crowd work. Yeah. I'm nowhere near Gabby level crowd work good.
Yeah, she'll make her whole set crowd work.
And so, and it just goes to, and it, this whole thing is subjective.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's good at one particular thing or one thing.
She would be someone crazy to be roasted by. I wouldn't think I'd want to roast her, but to be roasted by her, she would fucking torch me, dude.
She loves to mess with me. She really does, because of my tisms and everything.
Oh, man.
She'll go, I'm touching you. And I just like, just start hugging her and just like, ah.
The way you said, like, I'm touching you, it just looked like Gabby. Like, I could see her doing that.
I'm going to be touching you, dog.
So crazy.
Mean. Oh. Yeah. But. No, just having fun. Can I make my plugs before I head out?
Yes, please do.
All right. Like we just said earlier, I will be at the Hilltop this Saturday, whenever this comes out. When you
maybe tomorrow?
Okay.
Tomorrow.
All right. So this Saturday, when this comes out, I'll be at the Hilltop roasting my good comedic comrade, Juan. Juan. Yep. And Sunday, I will be at the Commonwealth with a whole bunch of great comics and lineup.
Are you doing a bucket?
Nope.
On the show?
I'm on the show.
Nice.
Man. I'm on the show of Commonwealth. I'm so excited to do it.
Is it your first one?
Mm-mm. It's be, I think, my third.
Dang.
Third? Yeah, I think my third.
I got to get back in there. I always tell you how much I don't like that place. Because it's a church, but
you gotta get over that, man.
I don't know. It's the like
church of comedy now.
It is. It's becoming like the new club in a way.
I honestly cannot give enough props to those owners that are just making that a place to go to, and all the comics that talk about it, like Jake Duran was talking about it, like he plays the drums up there and everything from time to time. Like they don't even pay me. I just love to do it because it's such a great place, and it's so true because they make it so warm and inviting. They know comedy. Damn. They're aware of the scene and everything from like down to Lexington up in Dayton.
Wow.
They have their hands on the pulse. They're very aware of the neighborhood and everything. They're trying to give the local businesses around there involved. And that's what I like to see. And I love that there's a place for people to go and just have fun and laugh.
Yeah.
And I hope I make them laugh this Sunday.
It's perfect. It's like a mini club. It's like one step under the big clubs, you know. That's how I see it. But
nothing goes above, again, the church, man.
That's true. nothing above the church. I agree
there's
to that.
There's Go Bananas and then there's church.
I'm just kidding. That's true. That's true. One last thing I was going to say about that place was, I think what's his name does his live podcast there now, Giles.
I've met Giles a couple of times. I've never had a conversation with him.
I don't think I've ever talked to him either, but, and he's been doing his Cool Man show for like 4 years or probably longer than that. Cause I remember back during, before COVID, he was doing it and then took a break. So it's, I don't know if he likes this critique, but it reminds me a lot of Kill Tony, the sort of the setup, where it's just like a live show and it's, I guess you bring on more comics than just like you and the whatever, sit at a table. But they're doing a live show. They're also doing another live podcast. The ladies, I think Kelly Collett maybe and her friend do a podcast. Where are they doing it? I think it might be at Commonwealth at the Sanctuary. Or I could be wrong, but that was just my two cents. And because
we got to plug one more thing here. This just because I'm a big fan of what he's doing. Dan Brady's been doing roast there too.
Really?
right now he's doing the roast of Home Improvement.
The show?
Yeah, the show. He's going to have the comedians act like the characters from the show, and they're going to roast Tim Allen.
Huh.
Not the actual guy, but someone playing right. Tim Allen.
Right.
Like they did with Bob Burgers and everything, mm-hmm. the roast of Bob Belcher.
Tina? Or Bob?
Bob. I said Bob Belcher from Bob's Burgers.
I don't know why. Okay, whatever.
But no, he's been doing the roast there, and the Bob's Burgers one was phenomenal.
Mm.
He's got another one coming up sometime in May. Definitely want people to check that out, because these guys literally take the time to write, and it's been funny. Yeah. The one show that I saw, it was hilarious. Like, everyone was laughing. It was a great time. And everyone just did so well with the characters.
Awesome.
Yep. That's all I got to say.
Hell yeah. Well, check out the Commonwealth Sanctuary for all your church and comedy needs. And did you need to plug, I don't know, do you share your Instagram with people, or are you just kind of like, fuck it? Yeah.
If you want to see my funny stuff, I got a YouTube called Funny really? Baloney.
Funny Baloney?
Funny Baloney, because my last name, it goes with Baloney.
I got it.
Like, John Holmes, I'll end with this. Like, John Holmes always goes, my homie, Ian Baloney. I'm like, God damn it, I hate that.
Yeah, I would hate that too.
But I don't, it's not like,
Yeah, it's like, just say my name.
Ian.
Ian. It's Baloney.
Baloney. But no, if you want to see a little clips and everything, just check out Funny Baloney on YouTube.
Yeah, I'm going to check that out too. I'm going to creep on it.
You already been creeping on me enough.
You don't know that.
You're yeah. All right, brother.
All right, good show. Peace out. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys.